Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell here with you, and Bruce Pratt on board for this week's Sports Lit 101. But rather than talk about a book this week, we're going to talk about skiing with the induction of new members of the Maine Ski Hall of Fame. And to do that, we are joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by the president of the Sugarloaf Ski Club, former director of the Ski Museum of Maine, and Hall of Famer, Bruce Miles. Bruce, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So, Bruce, this is quite a class that you've come in with. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, particularly about Karen Hunter-Korn, because she's a Bangor native, and Chip Cochran, and anybody else on that list you think people need to know more about. And then we'd like to talk to you about what you've done.
Well, okay, I'll start with Chip, because I've known him and Karen for a long time. But Chip, alpine ski racer, back in the 70s, he came down from Greenville and actually trained over at Herman Mountain with the Penobscot Valley Ski Club for a while, and then came to Sugarloaf to race and more training, and made it to the U.S. ski team, and skied on the World Cup, but the as a downhill, he was a speed skier mostly, so he was in downhills, and then he was a member of the U.S. ski team back in 76 to 77, and all the way through 1981. Then he got into coaching later on, and actually coached Forrest Carey, who is the U.S. ski team coach now for Ted Ligety, and formerly for Bodie Miller. And Chip also coached Bodie Miller. So he's made a lifelong commitment to the sport. Chip is in his early 60s now, I believe. And Karen Hunter-Korn from Bangor, she also competed in the what we call back then was a fledgling sport of freestyle, and she did all the events in freestyle. She did the aerials, she did what they called ballet then, which later became acro, and she also did moguls, and she was on the U.S. ski team in 1983s, 84s, skied in NORAM championships, world championships. She went, she would have been, if she could have been in the Olympics back then, for freestyle, she would have been. But unfortunately, ballet wasn't an Olympic sport at that time, so she really never got a chance. That was her signature event by the time she got on the U.S. ski team. And then she went on to go to Dartmouth College and was a very successful student. And now she has three kids of her own, and they all ski here at Sugarloaf. And both of them have been Sugarloaf Ski Club members along with their families for a long time.
Yeah, the thing about Chip Cochran is if you look at Chip, you would never believe he's in his early 60s. I mean, he always looks to me like he's 20 years younger than I am, and I know he's not that much younger. I think it's the mountain air and the hard work and being such a great skier. But before we get to mention some of the other guys, point out that yes, Nordic skiing and freestyle skiing sometimes don't get the same attention that alpine skiing gets. But I've got to say that the alpine skiing has sort of driven Sugarloaf's reputation more than anything else for a long time. And you've been part of that for a very long time, since actually 1968, which means you were still pretty young when you started coaching and teaching there.
Well, when I graduated from high school in 1967, I was 17, and I decided to take what the kids now call a gap year. Back then we called it ski bumming. And I came up and was spent the winter at my family's little A-frame down in Spring Farm, and Harry Baxter, a Sugarloaf icon, who was running the ski school at the time, asked me if I wanted to, learn how to teach skiing. And I said, sure. And so he spent a lot of time with me, and I started teaching skiing that year at the age of 18, and he also put me with the kids in the junior race program. And then, that same year, I got to meet Coach Tom Reynolds from Farmington State College, and ended up going to Farmington for 4 years and racing there a little bit, but also honing my coaching skills and you know, had 4 great years there.
Well, you've coached some pretty impressive people over time. I believe it is true you were one of Julie Prezian's first coaches.
Yes, Julie and her 3 siblings, J.P., Robbie, and
Anna, right?
Anna, were all in the program, and so I coached them. I coached mostly young kids under 14, and they were great. I mean, they were just great kids. They came to Sugarloaf from Lost Valley, and there's nothing better than seeing a kid that you coach back when they were just, you know, little kids to see them compete in the Olympics. And I was fortunate to see Robbie and Julie both compete in 1992 in the Olympics in Albertville, France.
Well, you've, besides being a coach, the Sugarloaf Ski Club, I mean, any of us who know anything about it know that you've been a driving force behind it for a long time. And the Sugarloaf Ski Club, though, it has a wonderful social connection. It has many other things that it does for alpine racing and for kids and for skiing in general. Then now that you have your beautiful new competition center, that seems that you've dovetailed the ski club and the mountain even in a more intricate way than before.
Well, since I've been president of the club, my big focus is to make sure that the partnership with Sugarloaf Mountain Corporation and Kiribati Valley Academy just gets stronger and stronger every year. And the junior programs for the kids started with the Sugarloaf Ski Club back in the 50s. And now we've been able to raise money for scholarships, and we've literally given away hundreds of thousands of dollars in financial aid to a lot of area kids from Stratton to Kingfield to Philip Strong and the rest of Franklin County and other parts of Maine, so that they can come up here and ski or ride on this mountain that every Sugarloafer loves so much. And, you know, you scholarship hundreds of kids over the years, and if you get a few of them that become a Julie Prezian or Bodie Miller or a Karen Hunter, that is wonderful. But if you've got, out of those hundreds of kids, if you've got a few hundred that just make skiing a lifelong sport and expose their own children to it, that's also a measure of success that is great. But now that I've been here for so long, I'm starting to see kids come into the program whose parents I used to coach when they were 12 or 13. And, you know, it's really fun to see that happening.
Well, one of the things that you've been able to do certainly is upgrade the facilities at Sugarloaf extensively, and it is the beast of the East. It's the place in Maine where most of the important alpine races take place. I know some take place other places. What do you think has been the driving spirit of that little town of Karabasset Valley to be able to accomplish as much as it's accomplished? And it really has been a community effort.
Well, Karabasset Valley was formed in 1972. Out of an unorganized township up here, Jerusalem Township. And the big reason that it was formed is because we wanted, as a community, we wanted to be able to have our own self-determination, especially when it came to developing recreation up here. Because we knew that unlike, you know, Millinocket with Great Northern and Jay with a paper company down there or Wilton with a shoe company, our industry here is recreation. And we wanted to be able to plan our own future, come up with our own comprehensive plans, and do partnerships with the mountain to help really promote this area and create a lifestyle up here. And I think we've done that successfully, also branching out to cross-country skiing and hiking and mountain biking with, you know, the Maine Huts and Trails has got a partnership with Karabasset Valley Academy Karabasset Valley Town on public land up here. You know, they've done a lot of things as a town to just promote recreation in the Western Mountains of Maine.
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is that you you have been involved with the planning committee, if I'm correct, or zoning, or one of those in Karabasset Valley. Do you think that the location of Sugarloaf will put it in position particularly well in the near future to continue to be one of the top resorts in the East?
Oh, I agree. I think so. Yeah, it's the Western Mountains of Maine is a is a non-congested area. It has its biggest asset is the wilderness that we have. I mean, we're right on the edge. When you get to the other side of Bigelow, you've got the 100-mile wilderness on the Appalachian Trail. So it's kind of a gateway to that. You're not looking out at from the top of the mountain. You're not looking out at industry everywhere. And it's a big mountain. The transportation facilities seem to get a little better each year, you know, with the roads getting a little better and people building real estate, you know, houses, second homes. So it's poised, I think. We've got, you know, our mountain is very big. I mean, you know, the old saying is, you know, if you were at the top of Sunday River, you'd be about two-thirds of the way up Sugarloaf. And and that's nothing bad about Sunday River, but it just goes to show how much higher in elevation this whole area of the Bigelow Range is.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I didn't want to forget to mention that Steve DeAngelis, Dave Chamberlain, Dick Taylor, and Ed Rock were also members of this class. But what I'm really glad to see is the Hall of Fame and the Ski Museum and the mountains, the major players, really seeing this as one vision and beginning to, I think, in a really positive way. And I credit you for being the brainchild behind much of this, a really unified effort to letting people know just what a special and wonderful place the Western Mountains of Maine are.
They are. And I can't restate that enough. And we've got a huge Nordic Center up here. And I'm glad you mentioned David Chamberlain and Steve DeAngelis. It was amazing at the Hall of Fame dinner the other night. The Nordic community is so tight.
Yes.
They really are. I mean, they really support one another. And the level of love for those two guys is just amazing. The other person who was a Nordic skier that was inducted, unfortunately, posthumously, was Ralph Ostlund from Aroostook County, from New Sweden. And a lot of people don't realize that Aroostook County was the birthplace of skiing in Maine.
Right.
That's where it all started after the Civil War when the Swedes came over. You know, and they yep. and they homesteaded up there. And Ralph, I got the opportunity to meet him 4 or 5 years ago, and he was just an amazing guy, a guy that would run cross-country ski 10 to 15 miles a day in his 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and it just, he was amazing, that's all I can say. And his family were big cross-country skiers. His brother used to race in the Bangor to Caribou cross-country
race. Yeah, the bog race, yeah.
It was go 2 to 3 days, 170 miles, I think it was, and you could imagine back in the 30s and 40s when they did this, and the clothing and the equipment they had wasn't anywhere near the, you know, high tech that it is these days.
No, and I think a lot of people don't realize that places like Black Mountain and Rumford and the Aroostook County area produced some of the greatest cross country skiers this country produced for a long time, and I think of how famous the Broomalls were when I was growing up and when I was in prep school and doing some Nordic skiing, reluctantly, but we had to do that. They would always talk about those guys from Rumford and the guys that went to the 10th Mountain Division and the role that they played in, especially in World War II. So, people don't understand there's a big, big ski story to be told in Maine. And Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. And congratulations, as I said to you privately, I think they should build a wing of the new Hall of Fame when they build it and call it the Bruce Miles Wing. And I appreciate, on a personal level, everything you've done, but I know that an awful lot of people in Maine do as well.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's been a treat talking to you on the phone here today.
So, all right.
Take care.
That's Bruce Miles, new member of the Maine Ski Hall of Fame. And for anybody who doesn't know Bruce, I mean, we've talked about a little bit here on the show. You were a ski official. Are you still an official man for many, many years?
Yeah, I've been a technical delegate now, I think, for 12 years, something like that. I'm still active. That's why I'm going to miss the Sports Lit at the end of the month, because I have to go to a recertification. But I learned how to be a TD, if I'm any good at it, from two people, and Bruce Miles was certainly one of them. A very good friend, just a hell of a good organizer, and he really has done a lot for skiing in Maine. He's a hell of a good guy.
That's good stuff here on Downtown Sports Lit 101.